My name is Lou Leonard, and I'm one of the two co-founders with Kristen Barker of One Earth Sangha. One Earth Sangha is a virtual community of about 10,000 people that we know of, largely from North America, but also folks from Europe and other parts of the world who have come together to deepen their practice of mindfulness and Buddhism around the action needed to respond to what's happening to our earth. And One Earth Sangha has been very pleased to be able to offer some trainings and teachings I've really loved to talk to so many of you this morning who have participated in those. But also offering a space where sanghas around the country and indeed beyond the United States can come together virtually, share the work that they're doing and the offerings that they have to create a bigger sense of community across the many beautiful traditions within our long lineage of the Dharma. So this morning, I'm really excited. I'm grateful that you all could be here, and I'm excited for this kind of an event because it is that cross-traditional, that moment when we can see each other in person, but also across our different strains and pathways of the Dharma. It fills my heart to be reminded of the richness and the diversity in our community. Before I introduce our sort of group of speakers today who really aren't just speakers, but they're going to lead us in practice for this hour before we do some walking practice to join the other faith traditions that are gathering kind of across the Capitol. And then we begin our major walking practice of the day from here to the White House and the Washington Monument. But this morning is going to be a morning of practice to get us ready. But I just wanted to start by sharing a little bit about the way in which the Dharma has helped me face the changing and sometimes scary conditions that we see around us. My day job is leading the climate and energy work for World Wildlife Fund. So today I'm going to be jumping back and forth between all of you and my family, my panda family. But in that role, the practice has really helped me in so many ways. And one of the ways it's helped me is it's helped open my mind and my heart to the unexpected within this path, within this journey that we're all on together. And one of the ways that unexpectedness can arise for me is really on display today, both here and it's going to be on display the rest of the day, and that is how big this movement is, how broad it is. You know, sometimes I think we think of ourselves, and it can be very easy to feel alone in this challenge because what we're facing is so big, and it can make us feel small. But when I close my eyes and am able to open to the myself that is bigger than my physical self, then I can really see the largeness of this movement and our ability to really stand up to the challenges that we face. And much of that movement is going to be on display today, but even more of it is out there than is going to even be here today. So I think that's important. I try to remember that too. You know, sometimes we can get a narrow sense of what is true, and even just I'm sort of looking around to some of my colleagues, including some friends who work in the climate, other parts of the climate movement, and this past week has been a big week actually for business engagement on climate. We saw the largest company in the world, Walmart, who we may have various feelings about regarding their footprint in the world. But what we saw them do was stand up and say to their 300 supplier companies, we need you to be part of the challenge of facing climate change. And we're going to set a goal, and we're going to ask you, all of these companies, to join us in trying to meet that goal. So sometimes this movement is even bigger, is is even bigger than we think, or maybe even sometimes bigger than we're comfortable with. But the reality is, it's big and it's getting bigger. A second way in which I think the unexpected has arisen for me in this movement is the unexpectedness of finding joy in facing this set of challenges. And I think, again, when I'm able to live more fully in my heart and to open to the beauty of the bigness of this movement, but just the beauty of this earth that we are getting closer to when we're trying to do our part to make change. We're moving closer to that beauty and that connection and that real truth that is our experience as a living being on this earth. So today, my wish for you is that today you are able to also feel in a big way into the joy of what it means to be walking this path and to be doing that thing which in some ways feels really scary, to look deeply and closely at what is happening around us. But in doing so, we can find joy. So I wanted to just end by noting the unexpectedness of this gathering. You know, I would say one of my favorite signs from, and maybe you guys saw this or different versions of this sign from the Science March last week was, things are so bad, even the Buddhists are here. So this is unexpected, right? This is unexpected for many people, that a tradition that many associate with quiet individual practice is standing up, is speaking up in our own way, is walking into this moment together across our various traditions, which also is unexpected. We don't do enough of what we're doing today, which is to come together across the many beautiful flowerings of the Dharma and to stand together and to share our practices with each other, because they have so much of a common root and a common experience. So I'm so excited that you're all here. I'm so excited we're doing this together. And I'd like to move into the part of our program where we hear from some of you and the traditions that are represented here. We'll step through those. Each tradition will have about 10 minutes to practice together. And then we will close and we will walk. We will do some walking practice from here to the larger faith gathering on the other side of the Capitol. So thank you so much for being here. I'm now going to refer to my notes so that I am introducing everybody sort of correctly. But one of the ways in which this march, this mobilization today is being structured is in recognition of the different elements of our movement and trying to give priority and recognition to frontline communities, those places and communities and people that are facing these impacts of climate change first and worst. So for our march today, we're going to have indigenous communities, other frontline communities at the front. My place in the movement, other than this place, is, as I mentioned before, within the larger kind of mainstream environmental movement. We will be going last. We'll be taking up the rear in this march in order to recognize that while we sometimes can feel we're very important, we are not actually those that are facing this crisis in the most deep and immediate way. So we've organized our program today to also begin with a representative of our Tibetan traditions, we will hear more about that. But for me, having been to Tibet and the Himalayas a couple of times, we know that it is literally, you know, the Himalayas are the third pole. They are a place that is really feeling the impacts of climate change so dramatically already, and the communities there, because they live so closely to the land and are so reliant on those natural systems around them for survival, are really at the front lines of this crisis. So I'm very sort of grateful and pleased to have Ani Losang Tendral from the Gusumaje Center in Fairfax, Virginia, open our program today.
Okay. So thank you very much for coming. I'm honored to be here. I'm actually very shy, so bear with me. But I wanted to begin by following up about the situation in Tibet, because as was just mentioned, Tibet is definitely on the front line in terms of the impact of climate change. The Tibetan plateau is considered the roof of the world. It is warming at 3 times the global average. It is considered the third pole, but glaciers are melting at 7% is the annual glacier loss. The Tibetan permafrost stores over 12 million tons of carbon, and 10% of this permafrost has already degraded in the past decades. What does that mean in terms of the rest of the world? It means that the timing and the frequency and intensity of monsoons has been affected. It means that the melting snow cover has been linked to heat waves in Europe. And this atmospheric circulation over half the planet has been affected and will continue to be affected. So Dr. Losang Sange, who is the head of the Tibetan government in exile, recently said, Tibet's glaciers are melting and the world needs to notice. Its permafrost is degrading and the world needs to care. Tibet is suffering from massive deforestation and damming projects. The world needs to act. So my good friend, Sarang Yangden from Tibet, who's wandering around here somewhere, just mentioned to me that the Chinese government has recently proposed moving all of the Tibetans off of the Tibetan plateau in order to create a national park to preserve the environment. That seems like an absolutely extreme and poorly thought out, totally lacking compassion type of policy. So stay tuned for that and act. So I would also like to share with you a poem that was written by His Holiness the Dalai Lama way back in 1993. He gave this was part of a conference on protecting the ecology. So I wanted to share that with you and to underscore the fact that both the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the Gelugpa, and many other Buddhist leaders have spoken out and sounded the alarm on the environment and have taken many actions to help not just educate, but to implement measures to minimize the impact on the environment. So I think that in their spirit, you know that they are here with us now as you listen to these words. O learned one, Tathagata, born of the Asvatus tree, who perfectly sees the all-pervasive, interdependent nature of the environment and its inhabitants, the animate and inanimate world of samsara and nirvana, teacher of all beings, out of your loving compassion, unequaled one, please bestow virtue and goodness on us. O you who embodies the compassion of all the Buddhas and is known as Chenrezig, please bless us by ripening our mind streams and enabling us to see reality correctly. Since beginningless time, our minds, habitually under the power of self-cherishing, pollute, defile, and contaminate the environment created by the collective karma of all sentient beings. Lakes and ponds have lost their clarity, their coolness. The atmosphere is poisoned with many pervasive pollutants. Spontaneously, a hole has burst open the sky's canopy, and sentient beings suffer diseases previously unknown. In samsara, the glory of the resplendent snow mountains heights gradually diminishes and melts into water. The great oceans have lost their equilibrium. Islands are inundated. The terrors of fire, water, and wind are limitless. Hot weather scorches our lost lush forests, drying them up. The huge oceans lose their salt, and unprecedented storms rise up in deserted forests. Although people do not lack wealth, they don't have the opportunity to breathe clean air. Rain and streams no longer cleanse. Having lost this ability, they truly are depleted. Humans and animals living on the land and in the water, all sentient beings' bodies are tormented by many cruel diseases, while their minds are weighed down by dullness and oppression. There are few opportunities for joy. Greedy for short-term profit, We pollute the earth by using excessive amounts of chemicals, chop down forests, and destroy the earth's essence. The interdependent nature of the external environment and our inner world, as described in Tantra, medical texts, and astronomy, have been proven true by our present experience. The earth is the home for all living beings. Treat those moving and unmoving as equals. Thus the Buddha said in a truthful voice, with the great earth as his witness. As a noble one recognizes a mother's kindness and strives to repay it, likewise the earth, the universal mother, which nurtures all equally, should be cherished and protected. Don't pollute the natural purity of the four elements for no reason. Don't destroy the basis of all living creatures' happiness and well-being. Abandoning such activities, devote yourself to benefiting all. Under a tree, the Supreme Buddha was born. Under a tree, he overcame the Maras and attained enlightenment. Under two trees, he passed on to Nirvana. Therefore, the Buddha held trees in high esteem. A sandalwood tree marks the place where Lama Tsongkhapa's body bloomed forth, bearing 100,000 images of the Buddha. Is it not known that some transcendental deities, eminent local deities and spirits, make their homes in trees? Lovely trees clean the air. Trees help us breathe. Trees refresh our eyes and minds. Their shade offers a welcome resting place. In the Vinaya, the Buddha taught monks to care for young trees. From this we learn the virtue of planting, of protecting trees. The Buddha forbade monks from cutting and causing others to cut living plants, destroy seeds or defile the fresh green grass. We should safeguard the environment and follow his teachings. The Buddhas of the three times blessings, the melodious sound of the profound teachings on the impermanence of conditioned phenomena and other dharma. Trees arise from conditions, thus the Buddha taught. Trees bring the rain. Trees bind the soil's essence, and the wish-fulfilling tree satisfies all our needs and purposes. In ancient times, our ancestors ate the fruits of trees, fashioned bark into clothes, discovered fire by rubbing twigs together, and when danger arose, trees were their refuge. Even in this age of science and technology, our shelter and other necessities mostly come from the kindness of trees. When quarrels scorch us with the fire of anger, trees bring us refreshing coolness. In short, if there are no living creatures, the land known for the tree which sustains us, the jambu tree, will become a frightening desert. Nothing is dearer to the living than life. Recognizing this in the Vinaya, Buddha lays down prohibitions like drinking water containing living beings. In the remote Himalayas in ancient times, Tibetans observed bans on hunting, fishing, and construction. These traditions are noble, for they preserve and cherish the lives of helpless creatures. Carelessly playing with the lives of others, as in hunting or fishing for sport, is needless violence and deprives living beings of their universal rights. Be mindful of the interdependence of all creatures. Always think of benefiting others and never relax your efforts for conserving nature. At a certain time of the year, plant a tree. Fulfill your responsibilities to serve your living beings, fellow beings. Bring happiness not only to yourself, but benefit all. May the power of choosing right over wrong and refraining from evil give new life to the environment and all beings, benefiting them without fail. May the forests, happiness and joy spread in all directions and increase forevermore.
And to continue with Lou's statement, one of the strongest teachings I feel our community can offer is that we don't actually need or really can do anything alone. So I'd like to invite everyone from my Sangha who's willing to come up. We're going to help teach you a song. But yeah, the first message that we'd like to share is that we don't need to, and actually, why do anything alone? So I'm not going to stand here by myself. I'm calling my Sangha up. So please come on up. Our teacher has been a really powerful, powerful messenger that if we see ourselves as separate from the earth, A, we're not fully understanding the Dharma, and B, we're going to keep exploiting the earth because we see her as separate from ourselves rather than understanding ourselves as part of the earth, as well as we understand ourselves as part of one Sangha body. So we're going to learn a song called We're All the Leaves of One Tree, and has actions. And we do a lot of singing, especially of kids' songs in our tradition, which helps us to get over our egos, or maybe see our egos and get annoyed and think, I don't want to sing. So whatever your reaction is, don't worry. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you don't feel like it, we're not going to force you. But we've found a lot of joy that gives us strength for doing things like walking on climber marches from singing simple songs together. So please come closer. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, so you have the words on the sheet with the schedule. And the oneness that this song speaks of does not diminish difference. I find it so beautiful that this climate march is intentionally set up so that we can really see who's impacted the most, but let our love be our connecting point and a space to understand each other even more, to be able to act effectively. So we're going to learn, we are all the leaves of one tree. So it's really simple. The first line, we are all the leaves of one tree. Try it with us. We are all the leaves of one tree. One more time. That's the second line the same? We are all the leaves of one tree. Next line. The time has come for all to live as one. Try it. The time has come for all to live as one. We are all the leaves of one tree. So we're going to continue with, let's do it again with leaves, and then the waves of one sea, the stars of one sky, and then a medley of the three. If you enjoy harmonizing, go ahead. If you want to get up and do the actions big, we want to be in our bodies. We want to nourish our joy so that we bring this into the march, so that we're bringing our love for the earth and our pain into the march, and we're just being totally present and bringing this strong force into this gathering today. So we're hoping this singing will strengthen us.
Okay. We are all the leaves of one tree. We are all the leaves of one tree. The time has come for all to live as one. We are all the leaves of one tree. We are all the waves of one sea. We are all the waves of one sea. The time has come for all to live as one. We are all the waves of one sea. We are all the stars of one sky. We are all the stars of one sky. The time has come for all to live as one. We are all stars of one sky. We are all the leaves of one tree. We are all the waves of one sea. Time has come for all to live as one. We are all the stars of one sky.
Again. Yeah. One more time.
Maybe just the last verse one more time.
We are all the leaves of one tree. We are all the waves of one sea.
Don't just sing it, mean it.
The time has come for all to be as one. We are
So, yeah, I'm Acharya Adam Lobel from the Shambhala tradition, and most of you know about the prophecy of Shambhala. So the prophecy is that at some point in human history, the situation becomes truly painful, stuck, and confused, so much so that it could be called a dark age. Now, if you look at human history, you'll see that every generation of human beings always said, this is the dark age. This is the really bad time, right? Which I think says something about our own personal neurosis, perhaps. But we really mean it, right? Now is truly, this is the worst. And this moment of darkness, this moment includes a sense of fear, a sense of uncertainty, of confusion. But it is said at that time of destruction, of violence, of imbalance, where humanity starts to institutionalize the three poisons of greed, aggression, and ignorance, when those individual mind streams of confusion start to actually collectively form structures and policies that are embedded and passed on massive scale, at that moment of true fear and darkness is when the warriors arise. The warriors who are actually called to be born into this world at this moment. And so I'm addressing you, each of you, individually today as those warriors of Shambhala. Whether you know it or not, it's you, it's us. We are the ones who must rouse ourselves with fearlessness, with courage, and with the weapon of fierce compassion as we see emblazoned on the signs around us. So in this spirit of prophecy and of a recognition of fear and confusion, I want to lead us in a guided practice from the Shambhala tradition of rousing our life force, our wind horse energy, so that we can be courageous entering into the march today. But true courage, true fearlessness is not based on fantasies of wishful thinking that suppress the amount of confusion and pain we all feel. True fearlessness comes from smiling at fear, looking directly at fear. So I want to invite us to have a space together as a Buddhist Sangha on this good earth right now to leave room for the totality of our experience this morning. Not just our fearlessness and our hope, not just our vast vision, don't worry, we won't get too depressing, but I want to leave room for the realness. The severity of this moment that we are in as a human species on planet Earth. We're truly stuck in many, many ways. And I think we each feel that on an individual level. So I want to lead us in a guided practice that opens our heart to include our fierce compassion, our bravery, but also our pain that we each hold in our being. So if you will, I want to begin by inviting you to practice with the sense gates open. So please take your dignified meditation postures and from all of your many, many hours of good training that are now here to support you. And feel your seat on the Mother Earth. Feel her supporting you. And we'll leave our eyes open, our ears open, to receive the sounds. open our gaze in the visual horizon to take in color, light, this beautiful green around us. Feel the vastness of sky above. Your skin, the tactile aliveness that's attuned to the mystery of this world. And within this settled presence of our natural awareness, we connect to the fact that we are nature. These very sense consciousnesses are the expression of this earth. We feel our birthright as human beings, our original goodness, our tenderness, our sensitivity, the fact that our heart can love and break and feel. And please do not close this heart down. We need it open. And within this original goodness, I want to invite you to close your eyes. And if you'd like, place your hand on your heart. And with the eyes closed, let's leave room for the whole range of our human experience right now. Our uncertainty about the very future of our civilization. Our recognition of the massive destruction of countless non-human species. Of the poisoning of our air and water, and of this unprecedented human-caused rising of our climate, global warming. And for just a moment here, together supporting each other on this earth, let us let our heart break and feel our fear and even our guilt, for it is us. We are part of a massive system that is causing harm. It's no one else. There's no fingers to point. We're all stuck in something. And let us just acknowledge this without self-aggression and blame, but with fierce honesty. And let's feel our shakiness and uncertainty within this truth. I'm thinking of the car that I drove to get here and the sushi dinners that I refused to give up. And I can tell you there's not good fresh fish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're all part of a massive and blocked moment. And let us just feel this. Our part in it. Without blame and with open hearts. So feeling your heart swell to include our fear and our uncertainty, you can now reach down to just touch the earth as the Buddha touched the earth, touching this mother. And whenever it feels right, I want to invite you to again open your eyes and let your awareness expand out from this dark place of fear. We can actually find the energy and the honesty to expand out. So touching the earth can open our eyes, open our sense gates again, and again feel the confidence that comes from recognizing reality, not turning away. And from this we can gain the life force energy to reconnect to the earth, to each other, and to make the fierce change that is required of us. This is not going to be easy, and it will take the non-conceptual vastness of our minds and hearts. So please let your awareness expand out, release, open, and again, tune in to the sounds, the colors, the shape, the light and the support of the earth. Let us not let our confidence waver. Let us feel the unconditional human confidence that comes from seeing the truth. So a deep bow for your bravery and your confidence, and let us be warriors together.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you so much. It's just a reminder of what we can bring to this movement, right? What we can offer, and a heart able to hold all of it. So thank you for that. Thank all of you for engaging in that practice. So I am equally and especially excited for our last teacher who will lead us in some practice, Amy Smith, who is a teacher from the Insight Meditation Community of Washington here. I'm also a member of that community. Amy is also a member of our Panda community. You will notice that she and I have similar shirts on today. So we're both doing double duty, but I'm really so grateful for Amy to be here representing IMCW and leading us in some practice. Thank you, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a privilege and an honor to be with you here today. For me, the march is a celebration of the coming together of many hearts and minds that are committed to make a change for good in this world. And I'm already moved. The march hasn't started yet, but I'm really moved by this gathering. And I think that this today really flows very naturally from our innate, deep sense of caring and compassion. This caring and love and compassion is something that we all possess. It's all something we all have access to. And as others have said this morning, we know it's a frightening time, and our fear can occlude this natural sense, our sense of care and compassion. And we've practiced today to keep our hearts open. And I'm going to lead us in another Buddhist practice, a loving kindness meditation, or metta meditation, as it's known in the Pali language, that will enable us to connect with our love and caring and compassion. The Dalai Lama says that practicing loving kindness meditation for even 10 minutes a day can lead to 24 hours of joy. So with that, I'll ask you to take a comfortable seated position, or if you're standing, that's fine too. Suggest you have a position that's alert yet relaxed. And take a few deep breaths to arrive here in the present moment. So inhaling deeply. Exhale, release. Inhaling again. And exhaling. And taking a third deep inhalation, holding at the top of the in-breath. Sipping in a little more air, feeling the fullness in the ribcage and the abdomen. The fullness. And exhale, release. Now just allow your breath to flow naturally. First, I'm going to ask you to bring to mind someone for you, for someone who's easy to love, And this might be a mentor, it might be a child, might be a pet, friend. See if you can bring the image of this person to your mind's eye. Feel the presence of them. And reflect on the fact that this being shares a desire to be free from suffering and to be happy, just as all beings have this desire. And you can offer a set of phrases to this wonderful being. You can repeat these phrases silently to yourself and offer them your words of caring and compassion. May you be free from suffering. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you know great peace and joy. Really sensing your tenderness and your care for this being, your loved one, and allowing that to emanate towards them. And again, repeating the phrases. May you be free from suffering. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you know great joy and peace. And now allowing the image of that person to dissolve and offering yourself words of care and compassion, loving kindness. The Buddhist teachings tell us that we can search the whole universe and never find anyone as worthy of our love as ourselves. So offering yourself loving kindness with these phrases. May I be free from suffering. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I know great peace and joy. And reflecting on the fact that you too, as all beings, have a fundamental desire to be free from suffering and happy. So repeating those phrases silently to yourself. And if it helps, you can place your hand on your heart. And now offering our care and tenderness and compassion to everyone here today at the march and those who are marching worldwide to show their concern and support and care for each other, for our natural world. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you be healthy. May you know great peace and joy. Reflecting on the fact that all of us here share this desire to be free from suffering and to be happy. Sister Ocean's song so beautifully reminded us we are all connected. Now opening our well wishes to all beings everywhere, all creatures, large and small, for our Mother Earth, who offers us so generously, sharing, allowing our feelings to emanate, these feelings of love and compassion, offering these phrases. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings know great joy and peace. And really sensing in to your concern, to your care, allowing your feelings of love, your open-heartedness, your tenderness to flow towards all beings everywhere. May the goodness of our practice be for the benefit of all beings, and may it serve to heal our earth. May we keep our hearts open today and as we move forward. Thank you.